Good morning and welcome to Finland Mennonite Church. If you are visiting with us for the first time, we're glad you've come. And we are beginning a four-part series in the book of Jonah. Now, maybe some of you know about Jonah. And Jonah was at least known for being a prophet of God. That means he was chosen by God. And Jonah, though, at some point in this story, will find himself running away from God. And actually, God pursues him in a very unique, special way with this large fish that gets his attention and draws him back. And so maybe you know that part of the story. Maybe this is a new story to you. But we're going to be looking at the book of Jonah. And the idea is to try to understand what is the heart of God in the midst of all of this. Where do we see God? What is he trying to say to us as this story unfolds, the story of Jonah? And discover the heart of God, and then how do we align ourselves with that heart so that we can go into this world and be people who are changed and change agents for the glory of God. I have a question for you to think about this morning, and maybe I won't ask you to speak it out, but what are some things that people typically run away from? I can think of a number of things. You know, if somebody's chasing me, I'll run away, right? Maybe. How about a bear? Might run away from a bear or something that's a little bit frightening. Maybe we run away from things that are scary. I don't know about you, but I sometimes find myself running away from things that are going to be hard. That's just too hard. I'm just go the other way, run away. Sometimes we run away from broken and difficult relationships, right? We're being honest here, folks. We sometimes run away from broken and difficult relationships. We run away from conflict. I got the big C on my chest. I run away from conflict until somebody says, no, you got to face that. Okay, but I'd rather run away from conflict. Sometimes we run away from grief. You know, before I was a pastor here at Finland Mennonite Church, I was a pastor at Souderton Mennonite Church. And I remember 20 years ago, a funeral that I did at a graveside there at the Souderton Mennonite Cemetery for a woman by the name of Emma Benner. Emma and her husband, Norman, were married, part of the Souderton Mennonite Church. Norman and Emma had 10 children. That was the day when you had 10 children. Tragically, Norman, at the age of 41, in 1957, was killed in an accident at the corner of 113 and County Line, if you're familiar with Souderton. And he died instantly in a car crash, leaving Emma to be a widow with 10 children. She was part of the church. She had a large extended family as well. Less than a year later, Emma, without telling very few people, packed up her 10 kids, if you can imagine this, in a station wagon, and drove to California, and lived there as a widow for 48 years in California with her 10 kids. I get a call from her son after she passes in 2005. And he said, Mom wants to be buried next to Dad in Souderton. And so Dennis, the one son, and another sibling came all the way from California to Pennsylvania, and we did a burial of Emma next to Norman in that cemetery. I don't know all that went on in Emma's life, but I heard from her son how she lived her life there. But it felt a lot like she was just trying to run away. 48 years as a widow, that's a tough lot with 10 kids. Well, we come to the story of Jonah. And Jonah, facing a very difficult time in his own life, we find him running away from God. Running away from God. So if you have your Bibles, let's look at the book of Jonah. If you don't have a Bible, go ahead and grab that blue Bible in front of you. And if you don't know where Jonah is, go to the table of contents. It's hard to find. He's one of the minor prophets, meaning he's one of the shorter writings of the prophets. Not that he's any less important than Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, which have huge books of the Bible. But Jonah is a prophet, and we're going to look at it. You find it in your Bible between Obadiah and Micah, if that helps you. But it's in the Old Testament, so see if you can find it. Because I want to read this story for us from Jonah chapter 1. And for these next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at each chapter 1 week at a time. But I want to read Jonah chapter 1, and then we're going to just think about a little bit about what is going on here with Jonah, as it seems like he's running away from God. He's probably running away from a lot of things. But let's see what it has to say to us. This is the word of the Lord in Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let's cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? And where do you come from anyway? What's your country and what people are you?" He said to them, "I am a Hebrew. And I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you've done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Hey, pick me up and hurl me into the sea, then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That's the story of Jonah, you know, right? That's a story. The word of the Lord, it says, came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Jonah was chosen by God. We know that. He was a prophet. He was a prophet. He was a prophet during the time of King Jeroboam. And at this time under King Jeroboam, you just have to know the back story of Jonah. Israel at that time was pretty well politically secure. Nobody attacking them at that time. But the spiritual condition of the people of God, they were just very complacent. And it was obviously morally corrupt and very unjust in the way they were acting. So Jonah was called of God to speak to the people of God. And in verse 2, it says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Call out against it, for their evil has come against and come before me." Nineveh, part of the Assyrian Empire, was a brutal empire that threatened Israel. Eventually, in 722 BC, it would take it down. But right at this point, they weren't attacking it. Verse 3, "But Jonah, after hearing this word, he rises to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Now, Nineveh was 500 miles to the east of Joppa, where he was. But Jonah instead gets on a boat and goes 2,000 miles the other direction to Tarshish. Many people believe that Tarshish was in the southern part of Spain, as far as the known world almost. 500 miles that way to Nineveh. 2,000 miles this way to Tarshish. You get the idea? Of running away from God, trying to get as far away as he could. He's trying to get away. So Jonah tells him, though, in the midst of this storm, toss him into the sea, and the storm stops immediately. And these pagan sailors then begin to offer sacrifices to the Lord. That's part of the story that we can't get into today, but that's interesting to me. That God, in the midst of these circumstances, is speaking himself to these pagan sailors. And they begin to offer sacrifices to the Lord, to Yahweh. That's who it was. And then at the end of chapter 1, we see God pursuing Jonah and not letting him go. And it says the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So that's the storyline, if you will, of chapter 1. But let's go back and see, what exactly is Jonah running away from? What's he running away from? Well, first, I think we can observe that he's running away, as it says, from the word of the Lord. The nation of Israel at this time is being led, as I said, by almost a succession of wicked kings. Jeroboam II is just one in the line of several. And they refuse at this time to just obey God. They're complacent. They're not being attacked. And they're doing their own thing, pretty much. Now, surely at the top of Jonah's job description as a prophet was to go where the Lord would tell you to go and say what he asks. Why? So that the people of Israel and those who receive the message would what? Turn back to God. That's the work of a prophet. Speak for God to the people who weren't doing God's work, who weren't close to God. He's calling them back. And here we hear God speaking to him, and he's hearing the word of the Lord. And he rebels and disobeys. And he runs from the word of the Lord. Secondly, he's running from God's calling. What does God's word tell him to do? He says in verse 2, "Get up and head to Nineveh." No doubt they're meant to call for a prompt response immediately. But Noah gets up for sure, but he runs away from his assignment. That's because it involves carrying a tough message, I believe, into a tough place, a tough crowd. Nineveh, again, is the capital of the Assyrian Empire. They're not an easy audience, and Jonah's told to call out against it. He's supposed to point out their sin and call them to repentance, as we see over in chapter 3 and verse 4. He's supposed to tell them that their destruction is near. Wow. The Lord says here, "Their evil has come up before me." But even today, don't we know this? The Lord sees all that's going on in our world, all the wickedness, all the things that aren't right. He sees it. And one day he will certainly judge that. That's what we know. But today and in the day of Jonah, there stands an opportunity for repentance, to turn back to God. Wherever you may find yourself today, in relation to God. God sees the things in our hearts. He sees the things in our lives. And he wants us to turn and turn back to him. That's what the Lord wants to use the prophet here in Nineveh. He's not only meant to obey the word of the Lord, he's meant to carry it, this word, to an unbelieving group of people. But Jonah wants nothing to do with it, so he sort of wants to quit his job, and he runs away. And thirdly, he's running from God's presence. Look at verse 3 for a moment. It's repeated twice. He says, "But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord." Jonah's running away from the presence of the Lord. Now, is that possible? We see this in Psalm 139. I think he knows it's not possible to run away from the presence of the Lord. It says, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence?" Jonah, I don't think Jonah's ignorant of that truth, but he still tries. He attempts to distance himself from what God wants him to do. And so he tries to run from God's presence. But you know, the Lord isn't going to let that happen. We're going to see that as this unfolds in the next number of chapters. So he runs from the presence of the Lord. But then fourthly, I think he's trying to run away from God's life. What do I mean by God's life? In verse 2, God tells him to arise, but Jonah chooses, it says, to go down. And that idea is repeated twice. In verse 3, he first goes down to Joppa, that port city on the Mediterranean coast, to catch a boat. That would have taken him on a downhill way to the coast. And second, he goes down into the boat. That's how the text describes him getting on the ship, going down. You see where this is headed. It's going down. And you know that phrase, going down, is a synonym of death. Death. Going down. Away from God's life. Life is going down the tubes. And maybe you have experienced that in your life. At times when we try to turn away from God's life. Going down. Sometimes we think doing it God's way, of turning to God and surrendering our life to God, is going to make our life miserable. Jonah's right in the middle of that right now. He's going down, 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 down. And his sin is on full display here. He runs from the word of the Lord. He runs from God's calling. He tries to run away from God's presence. And he runs from God's life. He goes down, away from God. So the question here is, we can see, why would Jonah be running away from God? Let's look at the text and see if we can see some possible reasons here. What are some reasons why Jonah would be running away from God? Well, here's the first one. I think it's fear. Fear. Fear of what's ahead. As I mentioned before, you know, the Assyrians were a brutal and godless people. And as we'll see later in our study of Jonah, the other chapters, the Assyrians were not at the height of their power, but they had been cruel before and they would be cruel again. So his assignment is to go to tell them to repent, but it's a tough audience. And I wonder at times if I can see myself at times sort of shying away from some people that God is leading me to be with or to talk to out of fear. Fear what they'll say. Fear what they'll do. Fear that I might not be included in their group. Fear that I might lose out in a job or in something that I would need to do as I try to be faithful to God. That's what's going on here in some ways. When in Jonah's life, there's fear of what's ahead. Fear is what's ahead. The second possible reason, though, is he's bitter. Or he has hatred. I think this is the main reason. Maybe they're closely tied together. He's afraid. They're going to listen. Wait a minute. That's in chapter 4, verse 2. If you check out those first two verses of the chapter, I don't want to steal somebody's thunder, but this is what it says in verse 1 of chapter 4. "It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry, and he prayed to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? This is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from the disaster. Jonah looks down on these people. He doesn't like them a bit. He's mad about their sin, just like God is. But unlike the Lord, he doesn't want to see them rescued. He wants them to pay. And Jonah thinks they're beyond God's love. And he's filled with bitterness and hatred. They harmed his people before. They would do it again. And that's why he doesn't want to go. He's angry. He's bitter. Thirdly, I think it's pride. Pride. Pride, as he looks down on the Assyrians. He doesn't like them. And he doesn't consider them worthy of God's love and mercy. And so in a sense, he says to God, I'm running away because I think these people are beneath us and do not deserve your unconditional, unfailing love. That may be part of the reason, too. It's pride. There's a fourth one I thought of as I was looking at this text. Maybe Jonah wrestles with the loss of comfort. You know, this prophet Jonah seems to have life pretty content. Not like some of the normal, if you hear that, remember the stories of some of the prophets, like Jeremiah. Jeremiah is beaten up and thrown into a cistern, left to die. People like Zechariah, the prophet, was stoned to death by King Joash for what he had to say. Or Daniel, prophet Daniel, thrown into the den of the lions. But it seems like Jonah isn't living with that kind of harassment. Because as we said before, at this time it's pretty secure politically. In fact, Jonah gave a prophecy to King Jeroboam that their borders would be expanded in the north. And it came true. So what does King Jeroboam do? Puts his arm around Jonah and says, come on in here, Jonah. You're my buddy. And Jonah probably gets some perks from being close to the king. He's a pretty popular guy. He's living in a time when things spiritually are complacent, when the people are doing evil, and King Jeroboam has his arm around the prophet Jonah. And yet God speaks to him as a prophet. He says, go to Nineveh. I see the evil they're doing. But I'm a God who loves them as I love you. And I want to speak my love to them. I don't know. Early on in my journey of faith, you know, I always thought that God was going to just, if I really gave my life over to him, he's going to make my life miserable. You ever think that? If you really got serious about your faith, that God might send you someplace and you wouldn't like it? Might lead you to some task that you wouldn't care about? I'm being honest, that was me about 18, 19 years of age. And then God led me to, reminded me in Matthew and Luke, where Jesus says, hey, if a son asks for a loaf of bread, will you give him a stone? Or if a son asks his father for a fish, will you give him a snake? Of course not. How much more, Jesus said, will your heavenly Father give to you good things? That's in the context of that word, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. Man, I had to confess to God at that point, God, I'm going to trust you that you are good. And if I will yield my life to you, you will lead me on a path. It won't be easy, but it will be good. I don't know. I think it's easy for us, living where we live, to be content with the comfortable lifestyle that God gives us. Nothing wrong with the things we have. But is God calling us, like he was calling Jonah, to something that felt difficult, to things that were uncertain? But it was God. It was God who was speaking to him. You know, this story of Jonah is kind of unique. It's sort of Jonah's life story. Different than other of the prophets, this story is a little different. It's like his autobiography. And we see in this story that he shows us all his sin. We see his fears. We're going to see his failures. And it sort of puts Jonah before us as an example of someone who can easily run away. But it also shows us the heart of God. A God who is long-suffering toward Jonah and the people of Nineveh, not wanting them to perish, and a heart for Jonah as he's running away. At the end of chapter 1, it says he appoints a fish, a great fish. He appoints a great fish to go after Jonah. I think we can see ourselves in Jonah. Have you ever found yourself running from the Word of God, something you read in God's Word or something you heard preached, and you're saying, no, I'm going the other way? Or from something you felt God was calling you to do? Or from God's presence? Or from the life God is calling you to live? Again, I know I have. I resisted the call to ministry for a number of years. When I was a youth at Saturday Mennonite Church growing up there, I remember on a couple occasions my youth leaders, different ones, sitting down with me and saying, Jerry, have you ever considered going into pastoral ministry? I was like, whoa, no, not me. A little while later, another person sits me down and says, Jerry, have you ever considered going to pastoral ministry? And I'm looking at him and saying, not me. Mm-mm. My pastor, who I grew up with and who I loved and respected as a devoted follower of Jesus, I remember a ride with him to Lancaster one time. He invited me on to this. He was going somewhere. He said, come with me. I was about 17, 18 years of age. And he starts laying this out, the path. And I was like, no, I don't want it. And went on that way, and I would say running away from that calling for a number of years. And today, looking back on that, I am so thankful that God is patient and persistent in his love. That drew me in, that drew me back, that invited me on this amazing journey of following the calling of God into a life of love and service for his glory. Not without its troubles, not without its problems. But Jesus said this, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Why don't we believe that? Jesus invites us. Maybe you can relate to that. And it may be because of fear that we run away. It may be bitterness and anger at what is happening. It may be pride. I may want to do it my way. It may be the fact that it may mean the loss of some measure of comfort. I don't know. It can cause us to run away from the word of the Lord and the presence of the Lord. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and he ran from the presence of the Lord. That phrase, the word of the Lord, that's repeated hundreds of times in the Old Testament, especially from the words of the prophets that point to God's message to the people. But in Hebrews, in the New Testament, it says, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. And that phrase, the word of the Lord, is found only 15 times in the New Testament. And it's always used in the context of the gospel of Jesus spreading and touching and transforming lives. Luke, who writes the book of Acts about the story of the church, records it a lot as the good news of the kingdom is spreading. And he uses the phrase, the word of the Lord, to refer to the life, death, resurrection of Jesus, to the reconciliation with God and others that comes through the cross, and the grace and life offered to all who believe in him. That's what the word of the Lord in the New Testament points to. And one of the greatest examples of the word of the Lord touching lives is the story of Paul and Silas. You remember this in Acts chapter 16. They are arrested and thrown in jail for delivering a trafficked slave girl from an evil spirit. I say trafficked because that's what she was being done. That was being done with her. She was being trafficked by these men who were using her to make money. Jesus speaks to the spirit and Silas, and the spirit delivers them, and the girl is whole. And they get thrown in prison because of what they did. And while they're in prison, Paul and Silas are moaning and groaning against the call of God. No, they're not. No, they're not, folks. You know the story. What were they doing? They were praising God at midnight in the dark because they were following God's call, because they were listening to the word of the Lord, because they were trying to stay close in God's presence. And what happens? There's an earthquake. And the prison doors fly open, the shackles fall off their hands, and they run out of prison. No, no, I'm testing you. They don't run out of prison. They stay in the dark. And the jailer wakes up at the earthquake, and he sees the doors open, and he assumes they've all run away. He gets out, lights the torch or whatever, sees it all this way, and he's preparing to kill himself. And Paul sees and said, no, don't kill yourself. We're here. And that jailer comes to Paul and Silas, falls on his knees before him. And he asks this question, what do I have to do to be saved by that God? What do I need to do to be saved? And Paul says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Now here's Acts 16, verse 32. And they, Paul and Silas, spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Oh my. Oh my. What is the word of the Lord? To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the word of the cross that by trusting in Jesus and following him, we can be reconciled to God and to others. It's the word of grace that invites us to experience the forgiveness of God for lost people like you and me who are running away from God. And we see in this word of the Lord, as we see in Jonah, the heart of God. We see the heart of God, which is to seek and to save the lost. That's the message of Jonah. Though Jonah is running away from the presence of the Lord out of fear, bitterness, pride, or whatever, God is still pursuing him to call him back into his presence. And friends, wherever you're at today, God is doing the same here, right now. Right here. God is reaching out to you and me. And he's inviting us to find ourselves running away from God. He's inviting us back. And so we're going to close this morning just with these questions, a couple questions for you to reflect on. Which way are you running? Which way are you running? And you say, well, I'm not running. No, you're either running away or you're running toward God. You can't stand still. You're either designed to run toward God or you're trying to run away from God. Now, maybe you say, maybe I'm not running, maybe I'm walking. Okay, that's fine. The Bible talks about walking with the Lord, too. You know what I'm getting? Which direction is your life pointed? Is it pointed toward Jesus? Or is it pointed away? You know, the Bible is so clear. It says in James, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. This is not meant to be a message that sort of wags its finger at you. This is God saying, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. And this is the question that maybe is the hardest for us to answer. What or who is a Nineveh in your life? A difficult person. An unresolved situation. An unpleasant task that you have been avoiding. And you find yourself running away from. Remember the heart of God. The heart of God is inviting us back. Is inviting us in. And so what is something maybe God is nudging you or calling you to do now? And what step can you take this week toward doing it? You see, we see in Jonah chapter 1 the heart of God pursuing Jonah and not letting him go. And I believe God is doing the same with us here this morning. He is pursuing us, whether you realize it or not. He's pursuing us with his goodness and his mercy, as the Bible says. He's pursuing us with his goodness and his mercy. And he's inviting us. He's inviting us to stop running away. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you and we humble ourselves, Lord, in your presence. And I just have to admit my tendency, and maybe it's all of ours, to at times run away from those hard things, from your presence, from your calling. From your life, which you want to give to us through Jesus. Forgive us, Father, for the times we've chosen our own paths over yours. And maybe for the ways we've allowed fear and bitterness and doubt to keep us at a distance. Father, we surrender to you today. And I just ask you, God, as you're prompting our hearts in different ways today to give us faith, faith and courage to face our Ninevehs. God, we don't know how to deal with it all, but we're going to ask you for wisdom to navigate the challenges that we face. And so help us to trust you completely, knowing, Lord, that you are our shield, you are our fortress, you are our deliverer. So strengthen our faith today, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your patience and for your kindness. And help us, Lord, to grow closer to you with each passing day. We want to run toward you, God, and not away from you. We want to find life in you, Jesus. Thank you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.